Good Friday morning. It's Friday, February the 15th, 2019. This is Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. Pastor, here we are on another Friday, more than midway through February, since we only have 28 days.
Yeah, these days just keep clicking around. These Fridays do. I really enjoy Fridays. It's kind of a real tight schedule for me. Fridays are they're the end of the business part of the work week, so you're always trying to get things done. And typically, we're trying to get the backpacks that we do to the school for the school into the kids on Friday, and I usually end up doing a lot of that. But today they happen to be off for a teacher in service day, so I'm not quite so rushed. But what a beautiful day it is out.
It really is. Yesterday took a turn for the good weather-wise. When I came here in the morning yesterday, it was still a little chilly, but when I left around 3 o'clock yesterday to transition, it was beautiful.
You know, I'll tell you, I don't think that, I think most viewers, or excuse me, not viewers, but listeners would agree with me, that it can be cold, it can be a little windy, but if that's sunshine, and doesn't it make a huge difference in your mood and everything?
Oh, well, absolutely. And rainy days are the worst. I feel tired on rainy days, and I certainly don't want to go out in rain, because rain is sloppy.
You drag it in.
Oh, and even when you have an umbrella, you know, it gets on your shoes, and it just, it's not fun. It's not fun.
Not fun.
No.
Hey, I do want to tell you, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker, and I'm here with Scott Spears. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Also wanted to tell you that we are going to be, in the next week or two, start live streaming the service, Scott.
Oh, great.
Straight from the church on Sunday morning. We're going to live stream on Community Christian Fellowship on our Facebook page, and that ought to be a lot of fun, so we'll kind of update you on how that's going. But a lot of interesting thoughts in my mind this week. There's so much going on in, things are really moving in a direction, I don't know, depending on your feelings on whether you feel it's a good or bad direction. But I know that in our political world, in our social world, there's so many things happening all the time. You know, we used to see a little bit of change once in a while. And now there's something that appears to be changing all the time. And some things are good, some things are bad. But I find it hard sometimes, Scott, to keep up with the changes.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this morning, and I know I've said this before, but it's absolutely true. When I look at Facebook, when I look at the internet in general, there is so much that has to do with politics. And I welcome anybody to go to my personal Facebook page. I've never posted anything political. Because it's not because I don't care. It's just simply because when I'm not here, I mean, this is a news station, and you cannot avoid politics when you're here. That's just the way it goes. But when I'm at home, when I'm doing something else, when I'm having conversation with my friends, to be honest with you, it's not political. It really is not. And I have enjoyed this week of programming on my program in the afternoon, because you know what? We did not do 1 hour on politics. We covered the Daytona 500, which, again, I have
that was great, by the way.
Oh, we had such great guests. Thank God they came on. And I'm not a super fan. You won't find any NASCAR stuff in my house. But if it's on, I'll watch it. I think it's interesting. A lot of people in my family watch it. And I loved getting the backstory from the people who had been there.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, I watched a special the other day night. I was staying up late and just trying to unwind a little bit, and there was a special on the relationship between Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt, and it was a pretty interesting thing to watch. But yeah, NASCAR's been some pretty neat stuff over the year and how it came about, and I was a real fan as a kid, and then I went about 25 years and didn't watch it. And then I started watching it again and kind of picked up, and I enjoy watching it. Now, I'm one of those people. You're not going to see NASCAR stuff all over my house either. But I love to watch the races. When I miss them, my wife usually tapes them for me. I love that aspect of it. But I'm not one of those diehard fans that's going to walk around in the jackets and the gloves and the hats and have the flag of the number 3 on my car antenna. Of course, they don't have car antennas anymore, do they?
No, they don't.
I'm dating myself.
You know, I was thinking the other day, they don't have car hood ornaments anymore. That used to be a big deal.
You know, it really was. I never thought of that. I wonder if Jaguar's still doing it. Are they doing it?
I don't know. I haven't seen a hood ornament in a long time.
Probably because people rip them off there.
They did used to rip them off. That used to be the problem.
Yeah.
But you know, NASCAR, I think one of the advantages to NASCAR right now is that usually there are a few outliers, but if they are running a race in the series, in the season, which is a long season, by the way, February to November, it's usually Saturday night or Sunday afternoon. People are home.
Yeah, it is, and the race always comes on usually. What I like about it being a pastor is it usually comes on well after church and well before it starts again in the evening. And another thing I like about NASCAR being a pastor is that they do have track chaplains at most of the tracks, and they always open with a prayer, and they open with an anthem, and it's just very basic America. And it appeals to that side of America, doesn't matter which political party you're part of, but it appeals, because there's people in both parties that appeals to, and it appeals to me, and I enjoy that. And it's interesting, there's some sports out there that really do embrace faith, and just off the top of my head, so if I miss one, I'm not doing it intentionally, but definitely NASCAR does. Another one is rodeo, bull riding. I know the PBR, the professional bull riders, they have a staff chaplain that travels with them, and you know, that's pretty neat to watch, to see that they've stood on their principles and kept that in play even when a lot of people would disagree. You know, Scott, let me ask you a question. What's more important? To be true to your beliefs or compromise your beliefs to meet the status quo?
Well, it's interesting because these are big questions, and I'm glad we have these discussions, because I think this is what needs to happen on radio, and maybe is not happening in a lot of places for the reason you just said. Anything that is controversial or even sensitive, people tend to back away from it, even on radio now. And that used to be the place where you could go to have those conversations, because radio allows a long format where television does not. And so, to answer the question, I think it's an interesting personal thing, because when I think about myself, and I want to come back to spirituality and religion in this, because I've also thought a lot about this lately. People are always trying to guess. When you are a news person and you are trying to be fair, people are always trying to guess where your leanings are. Because the truth is, I know this because I spoke to a group the other night, and in politics was a question that came up. Now, it wasn't about my politics. It was just, does your station cover politics? And yes, we do. And we do it for a particular reason, because nobody else is doing it in local Marion. Now, to say all that, to say this, people are always trying to guess which way you are. And here's what I've always found interesting with people. Two points in my own personal case. And it still holds true until the last election. And it's only the last election because now I've voted in an odd number of presidential elections. It could swing back the other way with the next election. But up until the last election, I voted in every presidential election since I was 18 years old. And up until the last election, it was 50-50. So when people were 50% Republican, 50% Democrat. So when people were calling up and making these assertions that I was all the way one way, that's just not true. The voting record would prove that. Now, the other point that I want to make in that is, if I had a political bend, if I woke up in the morning and really had a political bend that I wanted to express on the radio, if I was trying to be a journalist, I would be much harder on the people that I agree with personally than the people who I disagree with. Which comes back to something I've always said before, is that if you surround yourself with people who feel the exact same way that you do, and you only listen to things that you agree with, then you're getting nowhere.
That's a good point, Scott. And something you've talked about a lot since I've known you and have been on the show, and we talk off air too, is the importance of if you spend all your time in one venue. It's kind of what we talk in church about preaching to the choir. You know, you're giving the message that everyone that is listening to you automatically agrees with and knows already. And the purpose is to bring discussion, bring new light into things, bring thought-provoking things. Another thing is, if I desire, I was telling a friend about this the other day, we were discussing it, and we, you and I had talked about this. If I have a particular thing that I want to get out to people that don't hear what I normally have to say or would say, why would I do that on a station that's all they do is talk about the feelings and beliefs and the principles that I come from? If I want to reach people that aren't going to normally hear those things, would it only make sense that I would do it in a venue where those people might be listening to?
That's the thing. And this is where I wanted to come back to religion and belief, because one thing I really do, and people in the political arena will get all over me for this, but this idea of equal time. Now, if let's say we're talking about an issue, anything that campaign finance. Okay, and two people have different opinions on that. Yes, I believe equal time is important on that. That's fine, but you have to. If somebody hears it on this station and they don't like it, I hope they would call me. I've never refused anybody to come on. Or if it's somebody on the station, I hope they would talk about it, because that's fair. I mean, what's wrong with that? But where I don't like equal time, and it's come to this lately, that everybody thinks everything's got to have equal time. I don't know if that's necessarily true, because when it comes to religion, if a pastor comes on here and talks about their belief, I don't think that I have to go find every other religion and find an atheist and give them equal time just because we highlighted a particular belief. So I really think that news media really has to understand what equal time is about.
Kind of become kind of namby-pamby, hadn't it?
Oh,
I mean, really, if you think about it, I mean, like, I'll give you another good one. Is the presidential State of the Union. And the reason that I don't think there should be equal time, I didn't think there should be when Barack Obama was in office, just being the most recent behind our current president. And our current president, I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, that is the person that won the election. They're the current president. They give the State of the Union. Now, if I am not a supporter, let's just say I don't support Donald Trump whatsoever. Can't stand the guy, right? Okay, but I listen to the State of the Union. Because I listen to that, I have to sit back and think about his point of view, why he said that. I got to really, it makes me think, okay? If I immediately just, yeah, and then wait for the other side, and then I listen to the person that I agree with everything I agree, I have walked away from that no wiser. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree.
You've totally pushed the other one out and listened to everything, the preaching to the choir. And the thing is, look, if you want to listen to a good State of the Union for someone that you agree with, get that person in office next time. And it just should be that way. I mean, this thing of this, I'm with you, the equal time is kind of scary. You know, one thing that really gets me a little bit too is that, and actually I wrote an article on this. I used to submit a lot of editorials to the Marion Star. And one day I wrote this particular editorial, and they had no problem posting the stuff I was writing on different views of religion and people and kids and families, and they wouldn't post this, and they wouldn't print it. And what the article was on was this, that why is it that when you are in a matter of faith in the church, now, as a pastor, I believe that my calling is to share the word of God with people, to be a shepherd. And I believe that the Bible is inerrant, that it's God's word. I believe that. And the people that in our church, I pray that's what they believe, because that's certainly what I hope they would. And so my values and what I do, what I say, and what I believe has to come from God's word. I believe that's the final authority, not people, not society, or anything else. And what really I don't understand is why society thinks that the church constantly has to go along with what society says and bend that way when their final authority is the Word of God. It's a huge intrusion on faith that's not really fair. But at the same time, here's where we kind of have a catch-22 in the whole thing. As we go into society, certainly as the church, we want to influence society. We want to protect our nation that we have many have fought so valiantly for. We want to keep our liberty and keep everything about it. But one thing the church can't do is legislate morality on people. And what I mean by that is, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do. I cannot legislate honesty. I can't say, Scott, we're going to make dishonesty a crime. Now, crimes are crimes, but I mean, just dishonesty. I can't legislate that. If someone's going to go out and live a riotous lifestyle that doesn't agree with what the church says, I can't legislate. That was one of the big problems with prohibition. You know, prohibition was trying to legislate sobriety, and it didn't work. If you're going to be convicted from a pastor's point of view, if you're going to have, when I say by a conviction, I'm saying something that is laid on your heart heavy enough that you make a change, okay? In other words, you turn and go the other way. If you're going to do that, that has to come from something you truly believe, from your relationship with God through His Word, and you decide that you're going to do that. And then you do that. I can't, in the church, make a rule that says, I'm making this rule, and by this rule, it's going to bring you closer to God. That's the problem that has happened in the church over the last, over centuries, to where they tried to, they did it in, you remember, in the Catholic Church years and years ago, used to sell indulgences. And I kind of liked liken those to energy credits, but anyway.
It was very strange.
Because what you do is you want to sin, you want to do something wrong, you pay a certain amount of indulgences for that sin, and of course the church got rich through the indulgences, but you were paying to be able to sin.
Well, you know, it goes to everything, because one of the issues that is fascinating me is this new medium we have called the Internet. Now, I think there, you said your church is going to start live streaming, and I think that's a great thing, because in that function, what that does is people who can't make it to church, maybe people who are in wheelchairs, so on and so forth, can watch the service, which is great. That's a great thing that a lot of people didn't have years ago. But here's where I don't understand, because I think that's why churches are doing it. I think that's mostly the idea behind why they're doing it. What I don't understand is when it comes to people who try to use the internet as their only platform, and I would be saying this whether I was in the media or not, radio, television, newspapers, is if I'm, let's say I'm running for office, let's say I'm trying to push a product, let's say I'm trying to increase anything, or maybe just get the word out. It comes back to that original thing that we talked about. The people who you are playing to on Facebook have either had to like your page or be your friend. You're not reaching people outside of that hemisphere.
Correct.
And also, there's nobody challenging you. I mean, if your purpose is to get to people who can't make it, I am 100% fine with that.
See, let me go back to this. It's a good point you brought that up. I always welcome a good challenge, because challenges keep us sharp and on our toes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And a lot of times when you look at something like that, yeah, I could see where people would say, where you're only preaching to the choir once again. But here's the thing. Say that, and there are so many people that are shut-ins or are sick, or a lot of times I'll do a sermon series, and for some reason you're going to miss a week. Well, if you can live stream it, you've got it right in front of you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, here's something else could happen. And this is where I want to get to the heart of what we do in as Christians and what we do at Community Christian Fellowship. Our goal is to reach out to those that need it in whatever way. You know, as Christians, we're to love others before ourselves. So we're reaching out to people, and the goal here is not just for people to be able to enjoy that don't.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. This is Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, the Pastor Whitaker.
Sorry about that. We're back. Anyway, what I was saying was that somebody's watching that, okay? And they say, I know somebody that could really use this. That isn't someone that would normally listen. A friend of mine, where I got the idea from this, I've seen it before. I know I have a nephew that's a pastor up in Houghton, Michigan. Isn't that way up there?
Way up there.
And they do it. But anyway, a friend of mine, Tom Walker, who is at Creekside Church on the far, far west side, Galloway area of Columbus, they live stream. And he was showing me how many people listen and how big that audience has become. And some of the things they do in there, one thing that really impressed me was, he was telling me about the person that's doing the, from the sound booth and from the technical booth that's doing this, they can see comments that are coming in because it's live, right? And to give you a good example, a lady called in one day, or wrote in when they were in the middle of the service, you know, that said, hey, my brother just died, I'm really hurting, blah, 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 you know, the whole thing, what it was about. I didn't mean to sound disrespectful there with blah, 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 but you know what I mean. Anyway, Tom said, you know, he was able to get a message right in the middle of the service in front of him. Someone dropped a message about that phone call, and he stopped in the middle of the service and prayed for this lady right then and there. Now that's what we're supposed to be doing. And when you look at things like that, if you're only live streaming to build your, or anything else to build your popularity, this is one of the things I really struggled with, to tell you the truth, Scott, in doing the pastor spot and coming on here, was that I'm not big into self-promotion. You don't see my name in big bold letters on a marquee anywhere. I am a servant of God. I am not a I don't want to be a celebrity. If people recognize me, I want them to recognize me for who I am and what I say, because of what I say. And but there's so much of it out there today that is popularity and is, you know, I don't want people to follow me. I want them to follow God. And so many people out there that are in pastors and teachers and evangelists and people have these huge followings that people, you really wonder sometimes, are they following them or are they following, you see where I'm at?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, that's in the presentation. Because I think it truly is in the presentation. Now, if I was doing a show where I was telling you what I knew, and I promoted that, and aren't I great? Well, yeah, that's a little self-promotional. But the example I used for, I think the last time we talked about this, was when I had the prisoners on from MCI, from Live Inside the Prison. And I felt that I wanted people to listen to that. And you, if you are doing something that you think people should hear or need to hear, I really don't know that there's a bad side to letting people know where it is. Because I can't believe people are busy. But I notice, like with the NASCAR this week, to be particularly honest, that is not something we normally cover on this station.
No, it's not. I was surprised.
Yeah. So on Facebook, I went on the WWGH page, and I said, hey, Ned Jarrett's going to be on tomorrow. Ken Squire is going to be on tomorrow. And I doubt anybody knew about the Ohio driver, first Daytona 500, Matt Tift, who's going to be running in this race. So, to me, it's about them, that maybe you might want to hear this. If you're a NASCAR fan, if you know this guy, Matt Tift, who's from up in the Cleveland area, that might be something you want to listen to. Because I don't, you know, there's a reason TV always put out a TV guide. There's a reason there's a DVR service. There's a reason that there's podcasts and web pages, because people always can't be there. But if there's something you shouldn't miss, I'll give you an example. And church is one of those things. I have been invited to churches. pastors make invitations for people to come to churches because I think they want them to come. They want them to see Absolutely. What's going on. There's not to me a huge difference there because it's all it is saying, hey, it's here. If you want to come, if you want to listen, here it is. And that's always been it because the backside of that is the problem. The backside is when somebody goes, well, is anybody listening? Well, you know, I would assume yes, because they listen to other programs, but what is their reason to listen if they don't know?
Well, you know, in my friend Tom's case at Creekside, you know, it tells how many people are watching it. And, I mean, it has really grown, actually, to multiple times the size of the church. And what's really good about that is it is a lot of people who are shut-ins, who can't, even people, some people states away are watching it. And the point is, if the message is right, I don't care what their motive is for watching it, they're hearing it.
That's right.
And if you think it's a good message, say, for instance, I watch one of Tom's messages, and I think, man, this is really great. This is something that Scott Spears could really get a hold of. I'm going to say, hey, Scott, go to this and download this. You're going to love to hear it. And that is part of that whole thing, and it works very well.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, if you look at viewership and listenership in general of any show there's ever been or any show there will ever be, it's never consistent. You know, if there's a special episode, things will go up.
Right.
If there's a rerun, things will go down. You know, because I think that's just the nature of the beast. And I think that is why, and I've also noticed, I've seen a lot of things crumble because people say things that are turnoffs to people.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. I think sometimes when pastors get way too political, it will many times, it pigeonholes their audience. I mean, and that's all they're going to have from that point. And I believe that we do have to participate in the political system because that is what we have. But I choose to follow biblical principles and they'll lie where they may. I made the comment the other day to someone or on air, I don't even remember now, that if someone truly was following their beliefs biblically, from my point of view, there's no way they could stand firm in either one of our current parties. It just couldn't happen. There's no way. And that's why it really surprises me when people are die hard, everything's good one way or the other. I may vote one direction in an election, but there may be a whole pile of things over here that really bother me that I want to see addressed and I want to see changed. But when people will just go into a party and, oh, everything's good and I got to agree with everything because that's what the party does, I don't see how they can reconcile that with saying at the same time that I'm a Bible-believing Christian that believes what God's Word says, because there's no way that you could be die-hard and agree with everything in either one of those parties. I love to see individualism. I heard something the other day that someone said, made the comment politically, that if our current president wanted something done, he had both houses, you know, a year or two ago, and which is a true statement. But here's my argument on that, and it doesn't, no matter which person's in power, it's the same argument. If our legislators are really representing us and we send them, it really should almost be hard to get a whole vote from the whole, you know what I mean? It shouldn't be like all Democrats vote in a block, all Republicans vote in a block. Well, that means that somebody is following a Pied Piper, unless it's something that the whole country agrees on. But what I'm getting at is if I truly am representing Weirton, Ohio, in that area, or Weirton, West Virginia, not Ohio, but down there, that area along the steel belt of Ohio, and I've got somebody else that is representing New York City, we're probably going to have representatives that we sent there for different views. And it's very possible they probably ought to have different views when it comes time for a vote. So I would rather see things really mixed up in our voting to where they finally come to a consensus then all the Republicans vote in one. I mean, that's not representation. It really isn't. Representation is when we have representation based on our values, and that's why we put them in office. So there really should be a lot more views and discourse out there. And, you know, it seems like we leave it to a speaker of a house, whichever party's in, or a speaker of this house, whichever house it is, and, you know, want to all follow or disagree with that general direction. And even though at some point we should come together with consensus, I think that sometimes we're not truly representing where we come from. That was a mouthful.
Well, no, that's it's true in a lot of cases, but there are, thank goodness, still those rare moments where people, where you can see the divide, where you really can. And the one that comes to mind for me a lot is when you said West Virginia, because there is a congressman or senator from West Virginia, Manchin,
mm-hmm.
and he's Democrat. And that's very rare in West Virginia, just because of the way the politics are. But he has voted with the Republicans a lot of times on issues because West Virginia is not typically a Democratic state, even though he's a Democrat there. He does vote with the Republicans, which is fine, because that is what you're saying. That's the purpose.
The purpose, and that's the way that should happen.
Right.
If we're going to be represented properly.
Right, and I think that is, hopefully, we get back to more of that, because that used to be the way things got done, because people were trying to represent their constituency. Now, are you always going to make everybody happy? Probably not.
No.
But the majority... like last night, for example, it's strange you bring this up, because I rarely ever see the vote count. But the vote count last night in Congress for the bill, the budget.
Right.
300 people voted yes. Now, I think it was 119 or something voted no. Now, there are not 300 Democrats in the House.
No.
So Republicans had to vote for that bill.
Sure they did. And some of the people, honestly, that voted no were Democrats, I'm sure, and some were Republicans.
Sure.
Because there were things that they, you know, said, there's no way I'm voting for this. But I do think it was a rare representation in our modern times of a little bit of give and take in both ways.
And that's a good thing.
And there will still be debate after this, and there will still be, you know, whatnot. But just to see them say, let's get on with this. We beat this one for a long time. You know, I don't think anyone agrees that we have to have some form of order at the border. Well, that rhymed, didn't it? Order at the border.
Order at the border.
Order at the border. But, you know, I think the argument is how it's done and when and how it's implemented. And some people want no order at the border. But that's just not realistic to... just open everything up to whoever walks in and walks out, because we just don't have the law enforcement to keep everything in check. It would be mayhem. And there's not a country in the world that has a border like that.
You know, I just my issue with the whole border thing is really that I really have not taken any position on that, and in my personal life, that's not just a radio thing to say. I really don't have a position because of this. I don't live in a border state, and I'm not really sure in general. I want to know more about eminent domain laws. I want to know more about what it's going to cost. I want to know more about how long these families have owned this land. Is it very important to them for some reason? That's what I am interested in right now.
You mean
now.
On the border states?
Yeah.
Well, but on the flip side of that is that the people that do come into the country, they don't stay there. All they do is cross there.
Right.
They're in every state in the union right now because they made it across that border. So it really does affect all of us. Now, something interesting I learned the other day, and I did want to bring up on the show today that I found quite interesting, and this kind of goes back to immigrants, too, is that I was in a meeting the other day, a county meeting. I won't get into details of it. But the discussion was, and it wasn't Marion County, but it was a meeting I was in on. And the discussion was, where are we heading for our future and what we're teaching, what we're mentoring, and what we're doing as far as what's needed economically and socially in the country. And this particular county... has come to the conclusion they're in real trouble because they're growing very rapidly. They have a lot of business there now and a lot of business potentially that'll be moving there, but they cannot fill the workforce. And the workforce, they just can't do it. The companies that are there are struggling. And when outside companies look at this, they say, why do we want to move there if we can't fill a workforce? And the problem is, it's not that people necessarily won't work. The problem is that we are losing our skilled labor and our laborers. Most people that desire to go into something want to go into something technical, in technology or in management, their thought process is, well, I don't need to learn how to do A, B, and C. I'll just hire someone to do it. Well, the problem we're seeing over the next 10 and 20 years is we're running out of people that we can hire to do it. And, I mean, general guys getting out of high school now don't know how to change a tire. Now, that may not be true in Elgin School District as much as it is a more city school district. But they can't change a tire. They can't drive a nail. They can't run a screwdriver. And what I'm getting at, why that relates to immigration, is most of those people are willing to fill those roles and know how to use their hands.
Well, just to the border for one second, just because I don't live in a border state, immigration is a problem. I guess what I'm saying is, as to building a wall, I'm just curious to know what the long-term goal is going to be here. Because who's going to pay for the lawyers? If it's expedient and eminent domain is fine and these people are not going to fight it, then I'm a little more happy.
I don't think there's very many people, owners on the border, that want to fight a wall going through.
If that's true, then...
From understanding of where they are. You know, I think that if the purpose of the border is to funnel people to a point where they can come into the country, but they come in a way of being able to check and see who's coming into the country. You know, we've seen recently some really big drug busts that have come in legal channels. Well, the more that you secure that, the more they have to come through those channels. They're still going to have holes and breakthroughs and all that. But I guess what I was getting at is I do believe that there is a place for immigrants in this country in all kinds of areas. I mean, they have served us well in science and technology, in labor, just in culture in general. And we always have been a melting pot. That's who we are. But I think there needs to be some organization to that. And I don't know what we're going to do as far as we've got to start getting more technical training out there. We're going to find ourselves in a huge void. And 30 years down the road, it may be the people in technology that are making no money and the people that are actually using their hands are making it at all.
Well, it's interesting to me because here locally in Marion, because, you know, I like to look at microcosms. And everybody who runs for office in Marion, usually, especially for mayor, always brings up downtown Marion. We've got to fix downtown Marion. Now, there are some people you will talk to who will tell you that downtown Marion's already fixed, and then there are other people who live in the same city who will tell you it is not fixed. And then there are people who run for office who clearly don't feel it's fixed because they're saying we got to fix it. Now, I guess that's all perspective.
It is.
So that's... I kind of look at the world, I kind of look at America, I kind of look at everything from the perspective. And I do try to get in people's perspective of why they want certain things done. My biggest fear in life is just spending money on things that don't end up working. Now, if they work, great. And we have done that. We've done a lot of things that worked. And that's why America is a great place to live, best place to live in the world. But there are things that we have done through history that didn't turn out so well. Bay of Pigs was not a great success.
No, it wasn't.
But we thought it would be. And so I don't know. It's an interesting thing. That's why I think it's very hard for me in conversation, if people are talking about the wall, to really take a position on that because I don't know. I want to see what happens.
But Scott, this is the thing that really drives me crazy, is that the people that are in those positions to make those decisions, to come together to do it, are they doing it for really thinking what is the best thing for our country and for those people, or are they thinking this is where I'm going to go politically because I want to stay in this group? And that's what frustrates
me. That's a problem.
Because that's the problem. We have people that we see records of 5 years ago, all they talked about was border security, and now because it's not politically expedient, they've completely flipped over, and I'm sure there's ones that go the other way too, and it makes it difficult. It makes it very, very difficult to, you know, to trust your politicians. I'll be honest, I don't live on the border either, but I do know, I see what's around here, how things have changed, and they've changed in, not in a bad way everywhere, but I can see at the same time that there's been a lot of people, for crying out loud, ask the Winfield family, you know, that deal. There's a lot of that going on.
Sure.
And even though, well, there's everyone commits crime, right? Why add to it?
Well, you know what the interesting thing is? I guess when I'm talking about consequence, and like I say, I really don't have a position on this yet. Now, something could happen that'll make me take a position on it, and that's good, or, you know, that'll be what it'll be. But it's interesting today because, not because it has anything to do with the president, and not because it's probably what's going to happen and may have happened since we've started the show this morning. But, you know, I believe President Trump said he was going to declare a state of emergency now that the bill, he's going to sign the bill the way it came through Congress, which only is, I think, 1.3 something for the wall, billion. He's going to declare the national emergency to try to get 8 billion. Okay, so if that goes through, if the courts pass that, and if they do, they do. That's a precedent. That's how this country works, and you have to roll with it. And the people who don't like the wall, you're going to have to live with it. But what I fear is there is going to be a day when a Democrat is in office again. And if they say global warming's national security, national emergency, if they say gun violence is a national emergency, if they say health care is a national emergency, they're going to be able to circumvent Congress because a precedent has been set. Not anything to do with President Trump, not about the wall, but I hope people understand that, because once the precedent set that you can go around Congress to get what you want.
Well, you've done that before, though.
Well, we haven't done it quite this way to say it's an emergency. That's the difference. People have went around it with executive orders, but they were not pulling money. They were just trying to change the law, and I don't necessarily agree with the executive orders either. I think that was a bad precedent to set. So I don't know. If people are okay with
it, we'll have to deal with it one way or the other.
Well, that's why I say I would hate that because I know people have a feeling about global warming. I know people have a feeling about gun control, and I know people have a feeling about health care. And that's great. That's America. We're allowed to have opinions.
I think one thing that we've really gotten polarized in the last couple of years, though, is that you know, throughout my lifetime, whatever president was in office, if they made a decision that I thought was great, I supported it. I didn't care what politics they were in. And so many people today, they're not going to support Trump because we're not going to support Trump no matter what he says, whether they think it's good or not. We hate Trump. Or we're not going to support Obama no matter what he did because we hate Obama. We got to get away from that and start using our brains.
And that's a big problem.
Hey, this is Pastor Steve and Scott. I think we're at the end of our show.
This was a fun show.
Yeah, fun show. Hey, God bless you guys. Please come visit us at Community Christian Fellowship, 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. And we'll see you Sunday.
Absolutely. Now, this show will repeat. Don't forget, this show will repeat on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and again on Tuesday evening from 6:10 to 7 p.m. right after the pastor spot, which is live at 5:10. And we are out for this week.
Listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to